Standing along as the morning off, Steve Thompson and Julie Weisenhorn is here as well. And our phone number, 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226. You can call or text the program. Julie, good to visit with you. It's been a little bit. Here we are, a nice day in April, a little cool start, 35 degrees right now on the way to 58. But a snow event coming in tomorrow. Uh-oh.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, a typical Minnesota, right? You just wait a few minutes and the weather will change.
Yeah, for sure. And from our text line, I wanted to get to it right away. And I think that there are a number of people concerned about the perennials that are coming up. Are they going to be able to survive the cold temps we're going to see this week?
So the cold temperatures might do a little bit of cold damage on the edges of the leaves or the tips of the leaves, but it's not likely to kill any of the plants. Remember that these plants are early, typically very early season plants in Minnesota, are iris and tulips, crocus. And so they've been acclimating to the cooler weather and kind of growing as they come. So they are they're tough plants, and they're just going to maybe have a little bit of chill damage on the edges of the leaves, but it's not going to kill the plant.
All right, Julie, with the current cold snap coming, do I have to cover my garlic at night? What are your thoughts on plants like that?
I don't think so. I think if you're concerned at all about the bulb, because that's, of course, the part that we harvest, you can still have some leaf mulch and just cover those a little bit. But, I don't think you have to worry about it. And I think just any plants that you're concerned about, just put a little bit of leaf mulch on them.
And I've never tried garlic. Is it hard to get started?
No, it's actually great. You plant it in the fall, and you plant a clove of garlic per bulb of garlic that you're going to harvest. And then in the spring, the plants come up, and about midsummer or so, you're going to get the scapes. Well, early in the spring, you'll get scapes. Those are the flower buds. You want to cut those off. You can eat those, saute them. They're very delicious. And then the plant will grow, and then the leaves eventually will kind of collapse. They'll kind of fall over. And that signals the time when they start to turn a little bit of brown to actually harvest your garlic. And you let that garlic, you hang it someplace nice and dry and let it cure for a couple of weeks. And then you can braid it or you can store it otherwise. And we do have a garlic page on our vegetables page on our extension site.
That is outstanding. What type of soil do they prefer? Does it matter? Is it kind of like rhubarb and other things like that?
Well, being that it's a bulb, you want to have really well-drained soil for garlic. And you can buy garlic from garlic growers here in Minnesota. You don't want to use the garlic that is in the grocery store. That garlic is a different type of garlic, and it's not as hardy here, and it won't produce as well. So purchase garlic in the late summer. You can get your order in anytime. And I know one garlic grower that I've bought from is called Plum Creek. They're here in Minnesota. And you can buy bulbs of garlic. They have different kinds, and they'll describe those to you. And then then you want to order those and get those in the ground in the fall, and you should have garlic next year.
Well, I'm going to give that a try in the fall.
Yeah,
I'm excited about it.
It's really
that.
Fun.
Julie Weisenhorn, our Smart Garden Show underway. Julie, before we break and get into the calls and texts here on the program today, some good news. The stay-at-home order continues, but it sounds like garden centers are going to start to open, and that's really good news.
Yeah, Steve, that is good news. It's not only good news for us as gardeners, but also for our green industry folks. As I understand the exemption, the golf course maintenance crews can get out now and maintain those golf courses so that when they open, they're ready to roll when the golfers are out. Garden centers can also be open. They do have to maintain the 6-foot distance and practice all sorts of safe, social distancing and all of that, but they are going to be open, which is fantastic news. I believe Bachman's is opening tomorrow.
Yeah, great news.
Indeed. Today.
Yeah. Yeah, great news indeed for everyone who wants to get outdoors and are really chomping at the bit. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back on our Smart Garden Show. Julie is in today. The phone number again, 651-989-9226. 651-989-9226. Or you can call or text. We already have a lot of texts lined up on the program today, and we'll get to those in a moment here on News Talk 830-WCCO. Our Smart Garden Show continues. Julie Weisenhorn is in today. Let's go to the phones. Ken and Blaine, you're on the air with Julie. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a couple questions. One question I have is, several years ago, I purchased an endless summer hydrangea, and for the first couple of years, I got the nice blue flowers and so forth. And it really hasn't even bloomed the last few years. And I was wondering if there's a replacement variety. And then my second question is, I just received a couple days ago, I had ordered some phlox roots from a mail order, and I'm not sure what I should do with them now with the snow and stuff coming.
Sure. Yeah, those are great questions. Start with the phlox question. And the phlox question, you want to just keep those roots cool. And keep them dry, because if they get moist at all, get a lot of moisture in there, they could possibly mold before you can get them in the ground. It's probably going to be at least a few weeks before you're going to be able to plant those. And so just keep them cool and dry. And maybe you could put them, they could be a little bit moist. You could put them, they maybe came in some peat moss or a little bit of sawdust or something, and you could moisten that just a little bit so that they don't completely dry out. Then Endless Summer. Endless Summer is, we were all excited about Endless Summer because it was a blue hydrangea, and that was something that was unheard of in Minnesota landscapes. And that color changes with soil pH and the addition of aluminum sulfate. That creates that blue color. If you're having trouble with them blooming, and would like to replace them, there are lots of other kinds of hydrangeas. I'm a fan of the panicle hydrangeas. These are not blue hydrangeas, but they produce beautiful flowers. And some of them that I like, my favorite is called the quickfire hydrangea. There's a full-sized shrub, and there's also some compact sizes, too. So you want to look at the amount of space that you have and then choose a plant that's going to grow to the mature size that will fit in that space. The other important thing about hydrangeas is most of them do much better in full sun. So that could be one reason why your hydrangea, why your endless summer has stopped blooming. It could be that it needs some fertilizer to increase its vigor. But if you are going to replace it, yes, go to any garden center and they will have a whole array of different kinds of hydrangeas that would be great replacements.
It is our Smart Garden Show. Julie Weisenhorn joining us from University of Minnesota Extension, the website extension.umn.edu. From the phone lines, we go to Mike in Prior Lake. Mike, you're on the air with Julie. Hello.
Good morning. I have a couple of questions. One is, I just bought some fertilizer yesterday and 20 winter pot with crabgrass killer. Winter pot, we're trying to put that on. And about planting seed, little garden seeds in a little potted plant, is that a good time to do that yet?
So the first question is about the fertilizer, about with crabgrass preventer. So that, you want to wait until the temperature is correct. And so it should say actually on your package about what time to put that down. We usually recommend that not until you start to see some grass growing. If your lawn is still pretty dormant and looking pretty brown, you want to just hold off on that at this point. The crabgrass preventer is actually a pre-emergent. So that is that's a type of a chemical that will prevent seeds from germinating. And so that means that you can't overseed your lawn either if you're putting down the crabgrass preventer, because that's going to prevent your grass seed from germinating as well. So you need to make a choice there. And there might be certain areas that you have a lot of crabgrass that you're going to use the preventer, and other areas that your lawn looks pretty good and you're going to overseed that. Now, I think if I understood your other question correctly, it had to do with when to plant seeds. It depends on the type, on the seed in containers or in gardens. So you want to, right now you could be, after this chill that we have, or even today probably, you could plant maybe radish seeds, lettuce seeds, some of these that are the cooler crop. And we have an excellent site, our webpage on our website called on our vegetables page, and it has vegetables A to Z. And so you could look up what you're interested in growing and then find out the timing for that. And there's also a page there for early season crops and warmer season crops, and you want to look under those early season crops.
Very good. Great call, Mike. Julie, I've always heard with crabgrass preventer, an ideal time is right around when the lilacs bloom. Is that true, or is that an old wives' tale?
I think we have these kind of phenological guidelines. People say to go hunt morels when the oak leaves are the size of squirrel's ears. I don't know about you, Steve, but I have a hard time figuring out how big a squirrel's ear is. But, yeah, that is actually a fairly good guideline. In other words, when those flowers are emerging is the right temperature. But I do think that it's there's a little bit more to it than that. And really, you can get a bit of a jump on that. The important thing is to know that if you put a pre-emergent down for crabgrass seed, you cannot seed your lawn then.
All right, very good. What about being out on the lawn right now? We've talked about it for several weeks, and I know the last time you were on the program, it was still way too early. Are we getting into the time of year when people can be out? And another one from the text line, and we get this all the time. And what about, you know, using the dethatching machinery on turf? What are your thoughts on that?
So what I understand from our turf experts is that Minnesota lawns rarely need dethatching, and it has to do with the types of grasses that we grow. So thatch is a layer of dead grass debris that grows right over the crowns of the grass plants. And because our weather is such and our conditions are such, the grass clippings that we leave on our lawn, they decompose very rapidly. And which is great for us because, doing that, you can actually add nitrogen back into your soil, which helps your lawn overall. So dethatching is not really necessary for our lawns, for most of our lawns. Now, if you have a neglected lawn and you do some cutting and it builds up and builds up, that might be a different case. But in most cases, we're not going to have to worry about dethatching. But I think now people, in some cases, your lawns are dried out and you want to really look at, feel the soil. If it's not wet and spongy, if it feels fairly dry, if you have a southern exposure or a real sunny slope or a sunny area, you might be able to get out there and do a little bit of very gentle light raking. You want to be careful not to do that when it's really wet. Now we're going to get this heavy snow tomorrow, and so that might put a little damper, no pun intended, on our grass maintenance at this point. We might have to wait a little bit longer.
To the phone lines we go on our Smart Garden Show. We bring in Ron in Shoreview. Ron, you're on the air with Julie. Hello.
Good morning. I know if we get some snow, it'll cover things up, but I got a lot of perennials that are up. Is there any particular thing I should worry about maybe covering?
Well, you know, those perennials have been our hardy perennials. And so it's... you probably don't have to worry about covering them. The only thing that might happen is if we really get, it looks like we're going to have some temperatures in the 20s, that you might get a little bit of cold damage on the edges of the leaves, the tips of the leaves. If you're concerned at all, you could take some of your, if you haven't raked up all your leaves, like I have a lot of leaves still left on my garden, and you could just push them over those more tender perennials. But really, these perennials that are emerging now are pretty tough plants. and they are, they're bred to emerge early, and they can tolerate these kind of fluctuating temperatures. The plants that we mostly have to worry about are our flowering trees, and none of them that I know of, I don't know about anybody else, but I haven't seen my crabapple buds opening up yet. And so if I did see flower buds, and then I would be concerned about those getting killed by frost. But really for these perennials in the ground, they're pretty tough plants. And again, might have a little bit of cold damage on the edges, but nothing that's going to hurt them.
From our text line at 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226, my Christmas cactus and orchid are both blooming after a long-distance move. Should I fertilize them or hold off?
Oh, lucky you. That's awesome. I actually have some orchids blooming at my house, too, as well as my Christmas cactus, too. So, yeah, it's a real treat to have that happening. I even have an amaryllis that's in full bloom, which is fantastic. No, you really don't need to fertilize them at this point. When they are finished blooming, you would want to then fertilize them. So, and they're two different plants because your Christmas cactus is planted in soil. That soil holds nutrients. And you don't want to overwater either of these plants. You want to make sure that they drain really well. But the orchid is in a soilless mixture. So the orchid is growing in bark. That bark holds some nutrients, but really that's a plant that needs more fertilization on a regular basis than the Christmas cactus does. So when you water your orchid, and you'll see active roots, you've got some blooms, buds, you want to use a dilute fertilizer designed for orchids, and you could purchase those at garden centers. You can buy them online, and you want to use that. I use it about every few times that I water. So some people use it more often than that. If your plant is really vigorously growing, you see lots of leaves and lots of roots and lots of buds, then you might decide to use fertilizer a little bit more often just to keep feeding that plant so it can support all that active growth. But for the Christmas cactus, you want to just make sure that it drains well, let it dry out between waterings, and really enjoy those blossoms. That's wonderful that you've got the blooms going on.
Quick break. We have more on our Smart Garden Show with Julie Wise and a Horn. Our phone number again, 651-989-9226. That's good for a call or a text. And we'll come back with much more. We have a lot on the text line. Can I trim maple trees? Can I make my own potting soil? We'll get into all of that stuff with Julie coming up here on News Talk 830-WCCO. Smart Gardens with Julie Weisenhorn from University of Minnesota Extension joining us here on News Talk 830-WCCO. A lot of texts and a lot of calls. Real quickly, Julie, from our text line at 651-989-9226, can I trim my maple tree right now?
Yeah, you could trim your maple tree, but word of caution, especially with the weather that we're having where we have temperatures in the 40s and 50s during the day, and then we're going into the 30s and 20s at night, this is going to cause the sap to really run. And while that's not damaging to the tree, it could cause a mess if you have furniture or a deck or a patio and you have a maple tree that is hanging over that area. So anytime you make a cut, you're going to that you could potentially have syrup or sap, not syrup, but sap coming out of that cut. And it's sticky and it washes off, but it's kind of a mess. At our house here, we have a very mature sugar maple that grows up and canopies over our deck. And even without doing any trimming, we've noticed a fair amount of sap that's dripping out of one area of the tree in particular and landing on our deck furniture. So we've held off doing any kind of pruning now until after the temperatures kind of settle down and warm up and that sap stops running.
And Julie, what about the oaks? Stay away from the oaks now?
Yeah, exactly, Steve. Stay away from the oaks. Oak wilt is a very devastating disease of our oak trees. And so you want to hold off pruning oaks. Do not prune oaks from April through June. and that will lessen the risk. This is a high-risk time for that disease to transfer between oak trees, and so we want to hold off pruning those. It's a lower-risk time, kind of a medium after that in the summer and in August. But the best time to prune oaks is in the winter when the trees are dormant and there's very little, there's no risk of the disease transferring between trees at that point.
Another one from our text line. Can I make my own potting soil with dried cattle manure and peat moss? Do I need to add anything like sand or any other material to make sure that that potting soil, the homemade potting soil, is nice and light?
So, yes, you can make your own potting soil. I'll just put a word in for our garden centers that they have fantastic pre-made mixes that are very readily available, ready to go. So if you want to go that direction, you could. If you're going to make your own, the recipe that we usually advise is two parts of loam, which could be a topsoil. It could be, you know, a little bit of garden soil if this is an outdoor garden space. And then one part of sand, a coarse sand, like a builder's sand that you can buy in tubes or bags, and one part of organic matter. So the two things that you mentioned, peat and manure, are considered organic matter. So you can see that it only takes up 25% of that total. And the reason for that is organic matter holds moisture, it holds water, and it makes a very rich soil. And sometimes you can get too much organic matter, and it can actually prevent draining. It can cause seeds to rot, plant roots to suffer a little bit. So you want to only use about 25% of organic matter, whether you use maybe half of that is peat and half of that is manure. That's fine. But then you want two parts of that loam. And again, a good sandy topsoil, actually, if you can find that at your garden center or hardware store, that works really well. And then some sand, some coarse sand.
To the phone lines we go. Lucy and Hopkins here on the air with Julie here on our Smart Garden Show. Hello.
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 I need some advice about a lawn rescue. We've got a long-established turf. My family's been nurturing it since the 1950s, never using chemicals at all, doing passive overseeding. We've got a really, really hardy lawn that does not require watering because the root system is golden. I woke up on March 24th and found out that a big commercial lawn service, I'm sure you've heard their name, I'm not going to mention it on the air, had mistakenly poisoned my lawn, thinking they were in the next block. What they put down was crabgrass preventer and fertilizer. Now, I'm assuming that the passive overseeding I did this past beginning of the winter is totally toast because of the crabgrass preventer. It won't germinate. But what I'm wondering is, they have offered, by way of reparations, to do a core aeration. So my first question is that going to do any good in terms of neutralizing the harm that these chemicals have done to my yard? Second question is, when can I put down some grass seed on the thin spots that would have benefited from the dormant oak seed that they killed off? And third question is, am I now going to have to water my lawn because it's been fertilized?
Wow, that's a lot of questions. Well, first of all, you are correct that with the crabgrass preventer that you're not going to be putting down any lawn seed, and it may affect the lawn seed that you used that you put down last fall. That hasn't germinated yet. It could prevent some of that from coming up. So that is true. As far as the fertilizer goes, it's likely that that's not going to actually harm your soil or harm your lawn. This is a lawn care company. They've while you have not used fertilizer on it, and it sounds like you've had a really robust lawn, which is great, I don't think that the fertilizer is actually going to harm your lawn. So that's good. As far as aeration with core aeration, the better time to core aerate is in the fall. And the reason for that, according to our turf experts, is if you do it in the fall, the weed seeds are not going to be germinating after you core aerate. Every time you expose the soil, if you tip, you know, you're pulling those cores out and you're pulling weed seeds that are in the soil bank naturally, but they won't germinate in the fall. In the spring, you would potentially cause them to germinate. So even though they put down the crabgrass preventer, and you still could cause some weed pressure in the spring if you do a spring core aeration. So we recommend that core aeration be done in the fall. That's the best time. Spring is okay, but we usually that's usually for compaction, for severely compacted lawns. And it doesn't sound like yours is having that issue if it's been so robust. So I would ask them to hold off until fall to do the core aeration. And as far as seeding now, when can you seed? I would say, that's a question. I'm not sure exactly how long you have to wait when it comes to how long those preventers are in the soil. So I would say you could probably do a dormant seeding again next fall, and see if that and that probably should be okay.
All right, very good call, Lucy. Let's go to Diana in Hutchinson. Diana, you're on the air with Julie Weisenhorn. Hello.
Good morning. My question is, when it comes to mowing your lawn, I've heard so many different answers as to how far the deck mower should be set to. I've heard 2 inches, 3 inches, 4 inches. Which is it?
We recommend that you mow at a height of 3 inches, that you set your mower for 3 inches. And it does. Here's why. Because even though those grass blades are very, very thin and very small and they don't look like they do a whole lot of work, they are actually the photosynthetic part of that plant. In other words, they're the parts of the plant taking sunlight and oxygen, water, and they are actually creating sugars and carbohydrates that support the grass roots. There's also good research that indicates the longer the blade, the longer the roots of the plant. And so the longer the grass blade, the longer and deeper the roots will grow. It's called a root to shoot ratio. And so if you cut your lawns very short, your roots are not going to, you're not going to have enough photosynthetic material to support nice deep roots. And when we come to those really hot days in July, when the grass could, that's when you get burnout on your grass. So 3 inches will help to create a much better root system. The other thing about those blades, even though they don't seem very big or broad, they will actually shade the surface roots, the crown of the grass plant. And what that does is it helps keep it cooler when the temperatures get warmer. We have cool season grasses in Minnesota. They grow best in cool seasons. When it gets warmer, those little blades actually will shade the crowns of the grass plants and keep them cooler. They will also shade the soil and prevent some weed germination. So some weed seeds germinate when they're exposed to sunlight. If you don't expose them to sunlight, they don't germinate. So if you can, you want to keep your lawn about 3 inches long, set your deck for that. You can let your lawn go to 4.5 inches, and then you're basically cutting a third of that blade off, getting down to 3 inches. And that's advisable, too, because that doesn't cut too much of the blade off at one time.
Right. Very great. Very good. I'm actually looking forward to mowing the lawn for the first time. I don't know when that will be, but at some point in the future, I always enjoy mowing the lawn. It is 8:44 in our Smart Garden Show. Julie Weisenhorn is in. We're going to come back. Mary and Eden Prairie. We're going to go to our text line as well. Here's some of the highlights. We're going to talk violets that are taking over someone's garden. And we're going to talk cucumbers, and someone's having difficulty getting the cucumbers to actually grow to the point where they can be harvested. We'll get into all of that coming up with Julie here on News Talk 830-WCCO. Our Smart Garden Show continues. Julie Weisenhorn in from University of Minnesota Extension. And Julie, before we get back to the calls and texts, what a great website, extension.umn.edu, yards and gardens. So much great information there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to remind our listeners about our yard and garden news blog, which comes out twice a month, every 2 weeks. It's timely information. We write it. Those of us who are extension educators and horticulture write it. You can subscribe to it. There's a subscribe button on the page. And actually, when you go to our website, it's the first thing that you see.
Oh, great. Outstanding. Julie in today. We've had a lot of calls and a lot of texts. Mary's been waiting for a while in Eden Prairie. Mary, you're on the air. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm not worried about the spring flowers, but I do have one of those large peonies plants that you don't have to cage to hold up, and it has tons of the red buds on the base of it. So I'm just wondering if I really need to cover those. I don't have any leaves around it, but I'm just wondering if I need to cover those little red buds.
Yeah, you know, I think I would probably do the same. I would be concerned about it, too, because those are amazing plants, and I would be concerned about that a little bit. If you have any wood mulch, even if you can scrape it up from some other area of your yard, if you have, you can cover it with a little bit of, even like another container would probably help, just to cover it up, just to prevent the frost from hitting those tips. So you could try doing that, like tip a pot upside down over it. That would probably help, too.
From our text line, thanks so much for the call, Mary. Will fertilizing the yard be beneficial before it snows? Should I hurry and get fertilizer down before that snow comes tomorrow?
No, I would wait. Fertilizer doesn't activate when it's cold. And you can see that on your package. You should always read the directions that come along on the package of the fertilizer as well. It will tell you when to, you know, what temperature that you should fertilize at. The problem with putting fertilizer down, if it gets really cold and that top surface of the soil freezes, is that, or gets kind of hard, is that that fertilizer can just blow away. It can just roll off of your turf. So just kind of hang back a little bit on the fertilization. This cold snap is going to get by. We all know that. We're Minnesota gardeners. And just kind of hold off a little bit on that.
From our text line, last year my cukes were loaded with flowers. Looked great. Set cukes, but then turned yellow and died. What happened to my cucumbers?
Well, that is a great question, and I'm sorry to hear that that happened. I'm looking at, actually, at my house here, I'm looking at the cucumber webpage, which is on our extension webpage under vegetables, and vegetables A to Z. You can look up any vegetable there. And there are a number of different diseases. A lot of them have to do with bacteria or fungal spores that can splash up onto fruit and affect them and cause them to rot on the vine. And so that's one of the things, fruit rot diseases, they're called. That's something that maybe happened with that fruit, that it turned yellow, could have been the cause of some kind of a bacteria. One of the best things to do is to rotate your crops. And so try growing those cucumbers in a completely different area of your yard or of your garden space. Even if you have a small garden space, just grow them on the other end. Try growing them in containers. Buy some really large plastic pots. Grow one plant per pot. See if that helps. You can trellis them up also. That helps to keep the plants cleaner. So even growing in your garden bed, you can build using garden stakes, you can build kind of a pyramid shape and run some twine around that area and then let the vines grow up that. And that helps to keep that fruit really clean and the leaves too. So maybe try a couple of things like that. Also, please take a look at that Vegetables A to Z site and read about that. You may very well find some other solutions to your problem.
One other quick one from our text line. Violets are overtaking one of my gardens. They're beautiful until June, then they turn brown. How do I get rid of these violets?
You got to dig them up. It's the only way to get rid of them, really. You could spray them with a broadleaf or a non-selective herbicide, but I find it actually just easier to dig them up. And you're going to need to dig fairly deeply. So they do have some complex roots. They lie on the surface, but be sure to dig down so that you get that whole plant coming up. But that's, for me, that's always been my way of dealing with violets. I love violets. They're very cute. They're early season, but they do tend to take over quite a bit.
We're coming up on the end of the program here quickly. Let's go to the phones. Dick in Newmarket, you're on the air with Julie. Hello.
Good morning. Say I have two Red Canada rhubarb plants, and both produce very well, but one of them has developed a basketball-size crown. What do I do with that?
Wow, that is a big rhubarb. Well, rhubarbs are big feeders, as you probably have noticed, and you can divide those plants. So the rhubarb plant will produce next year's buds on that outer edge of that crown. So with each year, those plants get wider, and you might find that the center of that plant isn't even producing anything. So you'll want to divide it every few years. And in doing that, you want to dig it up and then just take a nice sharp knife and cut away those new buds. Remember, they're on the outer side. You can throw the center away. And just transplant those, give them away, whatever you want to do with those.
All right, very good, Dick. Love rhubarb. I have a rhubarb plant in my yard. You talked about big feeders. Should they be fertilized? And now is a good time to give rhubarb a good jump start.
Yeah, I think when the weather settles down and we get kind of steadier, sure, warmer weather, then I think you can go ahead and do some fertilization. They don't really react to soil pH, so you don't need to worry about that. It's not that important to Minnesota soils. So it has to take up a large amount of nutrients. So think of how big those leaves are, and it has to support those big leaves. So you can supplement that soil with a balanced commercial fertilizer or some really good compost or a combination of both. And just adding those in will add a lot of organic matter and micronutrients as well. And then use a high phosphorus fertilizer. This is a case where we want like a 10-10-10 or a 15-30-15 or some really high rates of manure or manure compost will help to use some of those nutrients in there. So really feed those plants. And soil tests are also great to do, too. So if you have high phosphorus soil already, you don't really need to worry about the phosphorus, but you want to really feed those plants well. And again, check out Vegetables right. A to Z. We've got a rhubarb page.
All right, outstanding. And, of course, Julie Wise and a Horn, the show goes all too quickly. We apologize to the folks that didn't get on the air today via text or a call. Once again, the website's a good one, extension.umn.edu, Yard and Garden. Julie, always a pleasure and thanks.
Thanks, Steve. Have a great week. Stay well.
All right, there she is, Julie Wisenhorn, on our Smart Garden Show. Of course, Julie with University of Minnesota Extension.